You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back to the Leader Training Podcast for the Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. My name is Brian Dombosik, and with me is Karen Jones. And in this episode, we're talking about Unit 19, Session 5, Jesus as a Child. So, Karen, last episode, we kind of jokingly but seriously said our titles are pretty much on the nose.
Yep.
You know, so this first question, it may seem pointless, but this one actually not. This one, yeah. I think we can give a little bit more explanation.
I think so, too.
So what is the big idea of this session?
Okay, well, Jesus was a child, but that's not necessarily the big idea. What we're wanting to really communicate through this session is that, you know, Jesus, even as a 12-year-old boy, he understood what his true purpose was and who his Father is.
Yeah, and so that's why we use this session. Not only is it a great session because, you know, we've talked before in our podcast that it's good whenever we can lift up a woman in Scripture, because a lot of our girls and our boys, they need to see godly women. But here's a chance for our kids to see another kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Jesus being a child. Mm-hmm. And so it's great whenever we can cover stories like this. But this bigger, better idea that Jesus, even as a 12-year-old, understood what his purpose on earth was. Mm-hmm. And who his true Father in heaven is. So let's shift gears then, and let's talk about any needed caution or anything we need extra prep time for. And I'll start this one.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us would love to know more of Jesus' childhood. I would. Mm-hmm. We make this huge jump, really, from him really being, you know, he's born, and then we have the dedication, which we talked about last session.
Yeah.
We didn't cover it, but the wise men coming, that's probably in about when he was three or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a real brief detail. And then they go to Egypt.
Yeah.
And then we jump here to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then from here, we're going to jump all the way to when he's 30 or so and begins his earthly ministry and proper.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really not much about Jesus' childhood. And I think a lot of people like me would love to know more and may ask, well, why didn't God give us more? I mean, think about how long the Bible is.
Yeah.
And, you know, come on, you surely could have given us more details. But really, we have to be careful to understand that the Bible is not given to us to be an exhaustive biography of Jesus. It's given to us to tell us God's plan of redemption through Jesus and what happened in that childhood years. Well, while interesting, I'm sure, I'm looking forward to finding out one day, it's not necessary. We don't need to know it for salvation.
Yeah, and I'll even just jump in, you know, for those of you who are, you know, kids ministers, you know, you're a lot of times talking to kids about salvation, and I know that, we even struggle with just how little the Bible talks about, you know, children and, you know, salvation, and that's because we're all saved the same way, you know, children, adults, all of us, by the grace of God through Jesus. But I sometimes wonder if that's by God's design, that he left out some of the details of Jesus's childhood, because we would try to latch onto it.
Yeah.
It's very prescriptive, and maybe interpret things that didn't need to be there. God knows. But anyway, I wonder.
Oh, think about the parenting books that would be written.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good point, Karen. I think God may have protected us by not giving us some more details at times like this. So another area of caution that I would want to bring to bear is that we have to be careful in this session not to present Jesus as being disobedient.
Yes.
We know that Jesus was disobedient because he was sinless. Now, here's the thing. Whenever we come to a passage in Scripture that may be a little bit harder to understand, we have to interpret in light of what is clear.
Yeah.
So what is clear is what I just said. Jesus was sinless.
Mm-hmm.
Ergo, he could not have been disobedient here. So that's the starting point. The starting point has to be for us to figure out, well, it looks like he may have been disobedient, but he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, what we don't, and again, what we just talked about, it actually carries over to this conversation.
Yeah, true.
Because it's not a full exhaustive account.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures are, they do not give us every detail. Think, for example, the sermons of Paul in Acts and Peter in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily have Peter's full sermon at Pentecost, for example.
Yeah.
It's just what God wanted us to have of that. So there could have been a lot more to it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Yeah, true.
So the same thing, we don't have every detail in this. We don't know what Mary and Joseph may have said or did not say when they were leaving Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So, It's not like we know conclusively that Mary and Joseph said, son, let's go. You are to go right now. And he said, no way. I'm staying here. That would be disobedience. That would be
sin.
Yes,
yes.
So likely what happened here was that Mary and Joseph are traveling with a group of people, which would have been common in that day. Mm-hmm. It is time to leave. Keep in mind, Jerusalem is packed this time of the year.
Yeah.
People everywhere. I know the other day, seriously, we were leaving for church and I almost forgot Joshua. I didn't realize he was not in our van. I started to leave and I seriously, wait a minute, is Joshua in here? And my wife's like, no. Joshua's my oldest son, for you listening.
And how old is he? Is he 14?
He's 14.
Okay, I was going to say if he's 12, wow. He's
I know,
so like Jesus.
Like, whoa, I'm Joseph. No, but you know, in all seriousness, I lost track. I only have three kids. It was just five of us. I mean, we have two dogs. That's probably why. It's craziness. No, but life gets crazy. It's easy to kind of look past somebody in the moment. So Mary and Joseph, with all these other people they're going to be traveling with, are hoarding everybody together. They're corralling. You know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting ready to get on the road, and they start traveling. Now, what a lot of people believe happened is this. Jesus is 12.
Yeah.
Technically, he's still a child.
Mm-hmm.
But 12-year-old is when they did boys. That's when they kind of did their test drive, because next year they would be 13. They would be considered a man. That's the bar mitzvah, son of the law. And so a lot of times the 12-year-old for a boy was treated as your trial run or your test. The last time as a child, next year it's going to be serious. It's going to be real, because you're going to be an adult man. And so this is kind of, they're kind of have one foot in both worlds. My 14-year-old Joshua, my 12-year-old Hannah, my daughter. I know this. And those of you who teach kids that age or have kids that age, you know that that is true of them in general. Preteens, tweens, they kind of have a leg in both worlds. In many ways, they're still kids. In many ways, they want to be adults.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so they're getting ready to travel. And likely what happened was Mary didn't see Joseph or Jesus traveling with her and the other children. And she just thought, well, he's probably traveling with the men.
Yeah.
Because this is the trial. And he's kind of been hanging out with the men probably and learning a lot this time. And so, it makes sense. Joseph looked around, didn't see Jesus with him, and said, yeah, he's probably with Mary and the women because he's still a child. And they left. And meanwhile, Jesus was over on the side by the temple teaching and answering questions and asking questions.
Yeah.
So it was likely harmless in what happened. It was not that Jesus was disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
Neither was it that Mary and Joseph were careless, clueless parents.
No parent judging here.
No, it was one of those things that happened. If you're a parent and you've turned around in a grocery store or some kind of store and you miss your kid for a second or two, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably what happened here. So just as you're getting ready to teach this, if a kid asks or anything, you know, just be aware of kind of that backstory.
And feel free to work in the fun side, moral lesson. Hey, stay with your parents, guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, especially for preschoolers.
All right. So what else do you have? Any areas of caution or anything needing extra prep time or anything like that for?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, again, I brought this up in our last podcast about when Jesus was dedicated. It would be awesome to bring a baby in. And I, again, we want to, we've got Jesus fully God, fully man. We want to hold both of those up. But I just love, as Brian kind of mentioned earlier, I mean, this is such a great opportunity for kids to really identify with Jesus. So I think, you know, get one of those preteen boys, one of those 12-year-old boys to come and hang. I mean, it'll be a really fun day. And I think we mentioned it was in a storytelling point, but I think that would be just a great opportunity to make that story come alive. Again, Jesus was a real in the flesh, human 12-year-old boy. So
yeah, anytime we can kind of affirm that, anytime we can remind kids and preschoolers this is a true story.
Yeah,
Jesus is real.
Mm-hmm.
He was a baby.
Yeah,
he cried. He did everything a baby does.
Yeah,
he was a 12-year-old, but he was sinless. Every stage, he was sinless, but he was fully that age. Had feelings and thoughts and so forth, but continued to be sinless before God and others. So anytime we can remind our kids, this is real. It's a helpful thing.
Yeah, and just jumping off that a little bit more, that's actually, I teach the preschool through like a large group time at our church using the Gospel Project with 3s to 5-year-olds. And something I'm careful to say every week is, you know, this is a true story. Like, this happened in real life. This isn't like a made-up story that you read in a book, but this happened in real life. So I just think the, you know, again, one of the reasons I love teaching preschool and little ones is you're forming these things that are going to carry with them for the rest of their life, that worldview. So we want to, anytime we can emphasize that, we want to do it.
Yeah, and let's take an opportunity here to riff off of this for a second. Mm-hmm. Again, keeping in mind a lot of people using the Gospel Project may not be familiar with this.
True.
But yeah, we will use the term story, and we don't back away from it or shy away from it. We believe it's a good word.
Yeah.
But again, as Karen, as you just said, we would encourage you, add true from time to time when you think is appropriate.
Yeah.
But some people would question our wisdom of using story because they think story connotes made up fiction.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. Story by itself, if you look it up in the dictionary, it does not mean fictitious account.
Okay.
And we use this quite often in our language.
Yeah.
You know, you may meet somebody for the first time and say, hey, what's your story?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that you're not asking a person to make up a fictitious account on the spot.
Yeah.
You know, you're what are you about? Mm-hmm. Tell me about you.
Yeah.
And because story does not mean fiction, and because it's becoming more and more common in our culture today, we believe it's good and proper for us to use story.
Yeah.
So just know that what our definition of story is not made up. It's not fictitious or anything, but we would counsel you to include true every once in a while, or clarify this with your kids, your preschoolers.
Yeah. I would definitely be careful to say it often, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. So anything else with this session to be cautious about, or anything needing prep time or anything like that?
Yeah. There is another activity called Inspect Bibles with the preschool. And I just really want to encourage you all, you know, to do it. And I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot in these podcasts, but I mean, like Paul, it's helpful for me to repeat myself over and over again. But I think it's just so important for preschoolers and even babies and toddlers to understand that the Bible is for them too. And so anytime you can get their hands on a Bible, touching the Bible, they need to see you with the Bible open when, you know, the story is being told or video being watched, and just to help them know that the Bible is for them. So you want to get them into it. Yeah, and another activity I noticed too is just we have a scavenger hunt activity for preschool, and I really think it's such a valuable thing to be able to get out of the classroom that engages more learning styles as you do that. But you are going to have to think about like how this is going to work with my location, my church procedures for security and just safety, and just and what's around you. You know, how can you make this work in your context? So yeah, put that on your radar.
All right, so let's talk about anything that we're excited about God potentially doing through this session.
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you can think of, Karen, that kind of stands out to you?
Yeah, well, I feel like, you know, purpose is such an important thing in our culture today. And I think it's so amazing how, you know, Jesus was so about his purpose. I mean, he was single-minded about it. And I think that even though we don't want to just hold Jesus as just an example because, you know, he's our Savior, you know, but he is an example in a way. And he gives us an example of how, you know, God has called us to follow him, to love him, to make him known. And so I love how, you know, that this story encourages kids, you know, hey, that's your purpose too. Your purpose is to make point to Jesus and point to the Father. So, I'm just excited to see kids think about that.
You're never too young.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is really important because it gives those kids that that compass of their living as soon as we can. You don't want them kind of bebopping through life.
Yeah.
Asking this question people in our culture ask all the time, why am I here? Why do I exist?
Yeah.
What's it all about? We want to answer that question. We have the answer. Give it to them now.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I've been doing a lot of research recently on consumerism in our culture. And it's something where, you know, consumerism I would define as when we put way too much attention and value in things that we believe we find worth in things, either what we own or how much we have and so forth. And that's where we seek happiness and identity from.
Mm-hmm.
And it is antithetical to the gospel.
Yeah.
And our kids are growing up in this consumeristic culture. There's more and more media targeted toward them. Advertising is targeted toward them. preteens especially are known to have a lot of disposable income because they get it from parents or so forth. Yeah. And so they're targeted, or they know that they'll go, advertisers know they'll go to their parents and say, Dad, I want this so-and-so.
Yeah.
And so they are being blitzed with this messaging that if you want to be somebody important, have the latest, best phone out there.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to have, if you want to be pretty, wear this clothes. If you want to, you know, be an attractive guy, wear these clothes or do this or whatever.
Yeah.
They're hearing these things. And meanwhile, we know that the Bible positions our identity in Christ being primary. And from that, all of life makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So this session is a great opportunity for us to kind of talk about that and say, look, Jesus understood his purpose from the beginning. He understood that following the Father was primary, and he delighted in it. And you are here for a reason as well. You're here to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and then make much of him. And you're of infinite value because you are in Christ, a new creature. You're loved by God. And you just speak gospel truth to these kids to counterbalance and outweigh the garbage they get from culture, the lies they can believe, the lies we can believe.
Yeah.
this could be an opportunity for you to really help those kids out. And again, give them that compass.
Yeah. And even just taking the long view of that, we have such an opportunity pouring into children and preschoolers because we're shaping their future. You know, think about what the Lord could do through a kid who has such a strong sense of their identity in Christ from the time they're like a little guy. Mm-hmm. I just think it could be amazing.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think that's a great place for us to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you again for listening to today's episode of the podcast. We hope that you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids in preschool. For more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.